you ever played hide and seek with a 3-year-old? Often they're standing right in front of you, pretending to be invisible. Or maybe they're hiding behind a see-through curtain just across the room. Or maybe they're shouting from the kitchen, "I'm in here! Come and find me! I'm right here in the kitchen!" In my life, I've never found it difficult to find a 3-year-old during a game of hide and seek. But I have in my life, a few times, pretended that I couldn't find them. But in actuality, I wasn't really looking. Sometimes hide and seek is a nice break from all of the attention that a child requires. You might think to yourself, let them go hide for a few minutes. Maybe I could actually fold some of this laundry or finish the last few pages of my novel or just get to do what I want to do for a minute. This morning, I want us to consider that we might be doing the same thing with God. Like a 3-year-old, God is not very good at hiding. And for any of you who know anything about 3-year-olds, hide and seek is never really about the hiding, but about the finding. Our gospel lesson for today is broken into 3 parts, 3 anecdotes that teach us how to find God. The first part is about prayer. The second, persistence. And the third, seeking first the kingdom. Let's look at prayer. Notice in the story that Jesus himself is praying when his disciple asks him to teach them how to pray. It's a good lesson for all of us in that it helps to remind us that we cannot teach others to do what we ourselves are unwilling to do. We cannot teach someone to live a Christian life if we ourselves are unwilling to live a Christian life. And we can't teach others about what love looks like if we ourselves are not willing to love. The first part of the lesson is about living by example, and the second is in the words, the way that Jesus teaches them to pray. He teaches them the prayer that we now call the Lord's Prayer. And here in this version in the Gospel according to Luke, we have an abbreviated version of the Lord's Prayer that we hear in the Gospel according to Matthew. And they both leave off the doxology. That's the "for thine is the kingdom" part. That can only be found in Chronicles. But still, 2 very important elements of the Lord's Prayer are present in our reading today, and they're essential to the way we pray. First, we say to God, "Your name is great. It is hallowed. You are worthy of prayer and praise, and we seek you." Second, we ask that we be forgiven our sins, and we promise to forgive the sins of others. Just like teaching others to pray, we cannot expect to be forgiven if we ourselves are unwilling to forgive. The way we hold hands here at Emmanuel when we say the Lord's Prayer is a constant reminder to us that the kingdom of God is about unity. It's just as much about giving as it is about receiving. It's about saying to God with meaning, "For thine is the kingdom," and not "For mine is the kingdom." The second piece of our gospel lesson today is that story about persistence, about the man going to ask for bread. It's a story about receiving what we need, because we continually ask for it. Now, this is a good place to stop and ask ourselves, what do I really need? Do I really need $1 million or a new car? Do I really need a third winter coat when so many don't even have one? What do we really need? Food, shelter, clothing, security, love, healing? Yes, we need those things. But we also need the Holy Spirit, which enables us to share those same needs with those who do not have them. I'll never forget my friend Katie telling me a story from her childhood of her most persistent prayer as a little girl. As a child, Katie used to go to her closet almost every night, and she'd pray this same prayer. She'd say, "Lord, it's me, Katie. I know that that's been my name for a long time, but I was hoping that you could change it. And maybe it could be something more fun or a little more unique or, well, a little more like me. So, God, please give me a new name. And God, let it be Stacy." Katie prayed that prayer daily for a lot longer than she'd probably like to admit. But despite her persistence, her name remained Katie. Sometimes we ask for something over and over and over again, and we pray for it and we yearn for it, and all the while God is saying to us, "That's not what you need." Katie's name didn't change, not because God didn't want her to know herself, but because changing her name was not what was going to make her know herself. And when she grew up, she finally realized that finding herself as Katie was what ultimately enabled her to share her life and herself with others. See, her persistence, it actually worked. Just not in the way she had imagined. We also often ask God for things which we do not need. For things which are a facade for an underlying yearning. And Jesus tells us today to be persistent in asking to receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is what helps us recognize what we truly need and what others truly need. Like in the gospel lesson, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are able to give a fish and an egg rather than scorpions and snakes. And when we have the Holy Spirit in us, people want to give us good gifts from above. Not new names or new facades, but a new self, a better self. And the third piece of our gospel lesson for today is about seeking first the kingdom. The kingdom of God. It's about seeking a place where good gifts are the norm and where selfishness and hate are not able to dwell. Jesus tells us that if we ask for the Spirit, it will be given us. And if we search for God, we will find God. And if we knock, the door of the kingdom will be opened for us. I think it's time we seek that kingdom. It's not time for us to pray for things we don't need. And it's not time for us to keep pushing for agendas that do not unite us. And it's not time for us to seek after revenge and malice and hatred. because those things don't have a place in the kingdom of God. If we seek first that kingdom, we have to put those other things behind us. In so many ways, looking for God, seeking God, is a lot like playing that game with that little 3-year-old child, hide and seek. We must first put our own selfish motives behind us and actively seek after God. And we'll find that God is not hard to find. Most of the time, God is standing right in front of us. Maybe behind a thin veil, or maybe in plain sight, or possibly even in the other room yelling, "Here I am, come and find me, I'm right here." Amen.
Amen.